Hey there, my name is Danny Sunshine Bauer, host of this podcast, and my mission in life is to help school leaders fight isolation and frustration via a leadership community in order to gain clarity and find solutions to their greatest challenges. If you get value from today's show, you can show some love back by subscribing to this podcast and leaving a rating and review wherever you're listening right now. I can serve more school leaders by having a better ranking, which is tied 100% to subscriptions, reviews, and shares on social media. In today's show, I talk with my friend Nathan Boyd, and we explore a number of interesting topics like the importance of social capital, why you should stop using the word student in parent communication, and what Nathan misses and doesn't miss about the principalship. Today's podcast upgrade is closing open loops to decrease stress and increase productivity. Nathan talks about this pivotal moment. It's two-thirds into the show, and it's really a beautiful story of an aha moment when he heard this voice and the stress just melted away. It shifted. The weight shifted off his shoulders, he said. And so I created this video especially for you. And again, it's called Closing Open Loops to Decrease Stress and Increase Productivity. And you can download it at betterleadersbetterschools.com/179-Nathan-Boyd. Or click the podcast upgrade link in the show notes page. Thanks for spending some time with me listening to this podcast. I hope you enjoy the show. And before we jump into the episode, I'd like to take some time to thank our show sponsors. A lot of school leaders talk about improving student soft skills to help them succeed in their rigorous coursework. The problem is that most leaders just talk about it without actually doing anything. You can improve your students' non-cognitive skills today by checking out an amazing program called Organized Binder. Learn more at organizedbinder.com. Students who participate in the Conrad Challenge don't learn to think outside the box. There is no box. Learn how innovation takes off and soars beyond the confines of a box at conradchallenge.org.
Hi, I'm Chris Nessie from the House of EdTech podcast, a proud member of the Education Podcast Network, just like the show you're listening to right now. The opinions expressed are those of each individual host. And make sure to check out all the other great podcasts at edupodcastnetwork.com. And now, the learning begins in 3, 2, 1.
Well, hey there, better leaders. This is Danny Sunshine Power. I'm here with my new friend, Nathan Boyd. And we connected at the Principals Conference this past year here in Chicago. And just a quick anecdote, he told me I need to hook up with Head & Shoulders. So Head & Shoulders, if you're listening, I want you to sponsor the show, because Nathan said, I recognize you like Troy Polamalu style with your hair, those long locks flowing through the hallway. And that just cracked me up. So Head & Shoulders, we do welcome your sponsorship. We're not officially sponsored by them yet. But this is not about me. This is about Nathan Boyd. And Nathan Boyd took on a new role in August of 2017, and he is the new director of African-American Student and Parent Services for South Bend Community School Corporation. As a former school administrator of 13 years, 2012 ISCA Principal of the Year, 2012 National Blue Ribbon of School Excellence recipient, and 2016 Indiana Principal of the Year, he prides himself on being a champion for children. There's a longer bio available for you on the blog post. But Nathan, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. I'll tell you, I was excited to have the opportunity to be a part of a program that I have listened to and gone to for inspiration for some time now. So this is an honor.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm so glad, like I said, we connected there at the Principals Conference, and you came out to that, Principals get together we had and got to know you just a bit more. And now we're recording this. So thanks again for joining me on the show. Now, in the pre-chat, you said, Danny, I love what I do. You know, that really makes me happy, obviously, and the listener's happy to hear that. But can you describe for everybody why? You know, what is it about the work, right, that you love what you do?
Those that know me best can tell you that Nathan has always been an individual who has been concerned about the whole child, right? School should never be a place that is strictly about the academics, that is strictly just about kids going to school between those beginning and ending bell tones, getting on the bus, and then repeating that the next morning. I'm interested in how we are developing people, how we are developing human beings, and making sure that my teachers and folks that I interact with don't forget that, yeah, we call them students, but, you know, they're more than students. These are children. And so any opportunity that that has come around where I've been able to develop and just really focus on the whole child has just been something that brings me a lot of pleasure. And with this role that I have now, I'm focused primarily on student services and parent services, which brings all that together.
Yeah, and I'm curious too. Congrats on the new position. Do you have a story or do you have like a concrete example that you could share with the listeners of what that looks like in terms of actually developing human beings now?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, you know, we're going to talk a lot with our students this year about the importance of developing social capital, right? We hear a lot about making certain that we have our human capital in place and making sure that human capital is in the right seat on that bus, right?
Yeah, well, yeah.
That book, Good to Great. But, you know, our kids also need to hear about the importance of developing their own social capital. And so one of the things that we've done with our mentoring program is really focus on the benefits and the shared experiences that connected human beings have. So we've spent a lot of time, number one, primarily on restorative circles. So we have invested a lot of time and energy and effort on our whole community, school community, on developing restorative justice circles, you know, restoring harm. You know, we are trying to transform the way our teachers are building community in their classrooms. And that starts with focusing on how restorative justice and how those items can really provide a framework for a teacher who might struggle to build relationships with students. Mm-hmm. It provides them with a framework on how to develop that. Well, not only are we doing that with our teachers and administrators, but that also means that we have restorative justice officers. And that means we've got children, high school age kids, mm-hmm. that are really facilitating this work with their peers and in the building. And so that just blooms into these wonderful opportunities where I've got kids talking about things and really kind of coming together without tearing each other apart.
This is awesome. We're going to dig into restorative circles and all that work in just a sec. What I want to say to the listeners, I recorded an episode with Demetrius Ball, one of my good friends, and he's a mastermind member out there in California. He is an expert on restorative practices as well. So just Google Demetrius Ball on the blog and you'll find that episode. But Nathan, in terms of the restorative circles and the restorative work that you do within your district, a lot of times there's objections from the staff because the way I like to describe it is that there's blood in the water and my teachers are sharks, right? They're in for the kill. Like they know that somebody is have been injured and they want them, you know, suspended or the detention, you know, all that kind of stuff. So how do you convince, persuade, influence a staff to see the value because it's there. It's the right approach. Like this is the approach in terms of discipline, so to speak, but human development, like you said, restoring wrongs and repairing harm. But how did you address that with the staff to make them believers?
Well, first and foremost, this is an item that you can't shove down their throat, right? If it's done incorrectly, you can actually do more harm than good. And so the way that we've done that here is just beginning with doing compassion circles with staff, having staff be a part. And that's kind of my rolling commercial whenever I get with adults who are just dipping their toes into this process. And so that in and of itself brings so much out to the surface. Danny, let me tell you, you know, sometimes there's things that teachers hold on to. You know, you parked in my spot 6 months ago and I'm still haven't forgave you for that because it was a cold, rainy day. You know, things come to surface. And it's funny you said that about the sharks because there's a truism, as we call it, that if you don't feed the teachers, then they'll eat the kids, right?
Yes.
So we start that work with teachers. We start that work with adults, whether it's certified staff or non-certified staff. Listen, bus drivers, cafeteria workers, security, student resource officers, if you've got those in your schools. You know, we want to get all those people involved and then let it work its way down Because when a teacher believes in it, when an adult believes in it, circle is powerful. Beginning a class, building community is dynamic. But I'm going to tell you what's even better. That's when it spills over into the hallways, because there's a such thing as restorative dialogue, which is just as powerful as those circles. And you can do that no matter where you're at.
I like what you mentioned there. First, the quote, if you don't feed the teachers, they're going to eat the kids. Like, whoa, let's make sure we're feeding those teachers. And you're correct. Like, from the circles or whatever type of program you have, it spills out into the hallway. But what I hear you saying is it becomes a part of the culture. Like, this is how we interact with each other. This is how we talk to each other and that kind of thing. Going back to the compassion circle you had and facilitated with staff, and you said, you know, oh, somebody parked in my spot. I remember when I was a teacher, there was somebody who kept taking a bite out of my dang sandwich. I don't know who it was, but literally every day, if I put my food in the fridge, it had a bite out of it. It was crazy. And that made me mad. But anyways, the circles you did with staff, what might that look like? If I'm a school leader listening to the podcast right now, you know, are there some steps that you might give, you know, tips and tricks that we could use to potentially start restorative practices within our school?
Well, yeah, the first thing that I would recommend is that, you know, this isn't a practice where we're trying to surprise anyone, right? So folks coming to a meeting and not knowing exactly what they're coming to, and then bam, wow, here we go, we're in a circle. I wouldn't always suggest that. So let people know exactly what we're doing. Let them know what our outcomes are, right? So be really clear with that. Also be clear with what our norms are going to be, right? So that's the third item. Be clear with those norms so that when they understand, when we are together in this sacred space, this sacred circle, or this time together, we're going to honor each other. We're going to honor each other and be respectful. Restorative justice, there's different fashions out there, but you know, there are some that really believe in the talking piece.
Right.
So we give respect to that talking piece, and that's the individual that's talking. But honoring that individual and really spending time centering ourselves before we get moving, and then learning how to listen. It's possible to listen, but you know, when you're that individual who's crafting your answer as the person's still talking, or your feedback while that person's still giving you their heart, that's not listening. That's not listening. And so always taking that reflectful minute before we jump into a response is really important. And so those are some of the things that we teach and we work on. And again, it's not one of those things that you can do in a day and you call yourself restorative. It's something that is a process and we work towards. But when it's done enough and it becomes part of a culture and you've established trust, community goes deep. And that's where the magic really happens.
Yeah, yeah. And I want to tell the listeners, you know, I have the School Leadership Series too, daily podcast, Monday through Friday. It's there to inspire you on your way to work, just like this one, but it's shorter form. It's not interview-based. Put into iTunes as a search query, transformational listening, and that episode will come up. Go back and listen to that. But the other thing, and just to review super fast, 1 minute or less, if you want to get this type of listening that Nathan is talking about, here's an activity. Three people, three roles, give them all 5 to 10 minutes. One's going to be a speaker, one a listener, one an observer. And they get to talk on whatever topic they want. And for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, whatever you choose, they talk uninterrupted for that entire time. The listener just listens. The only feedback that they give are those nonverbals. They can ask questions for clarification to better understand. Or reflect back, like, Nathan, what I just heard you say is blah, blah, blah. Am I hearing you correctly? Right? So you could reflect back for understanding. And the observer just watches. So the observer takes notes on the listener and the speaker. And then at the end of the 5 to 10 minutes, the observer tells the group, you know, what he or she saw. Then everybody rotates roles. Everybody gets to play every role. And believe me, when is the last time you got to talk 5 to 10 minutes completely uninterrupted about whatever topic? This not only teaches your team how to listen more effectively, but it actually builds intimacy and trust because people feel heard, maybe for the first time in a really long time. So Nathan, thank you for letting me explain that real quick to the listeners. And my next question is, Do you have any routines or rituals that really help you have an impactful day?
That is a great question. And unfortunately, I can't say that I have a ritual. I can't say that I have one. I love brewed tea. And so as often as I can, I try to stop at my local 7-Eleven and either bring my own tea bag or use one of theirs. But I tell you, the thing that helps me stay renewed every morning is the fact that I guess you can say I've got skin in the game, right? Right. I've got children and I've got three boys. Those three boys, they are a big part of my fuel, you know, in the engine. Danny, my goal is that I treat children that I come across every day the same way that I would hope someone else is taking care of mine when I can't be there. And so that's the way that I operate every single day, as if that child next to me is my own and I'm going to take care of them. I'm going to speak to them. I'm going to give them eye contact. I'm going to love on them just like I'm hoping someone else is doing for my own. Because if I can't do that, there's no way I can believe that others are going to do the same.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's the mark right there. And I remember when my friend DeAndre, who I worked under, he was a principal at Brooks College Prep, when he had his first daughter, that changed everything. I saw it, right? Like physically he changed the way he talked to the staff. He incorporated Elle into all the presentations, but that was the thing. And now it was all about, would this be good enough for her? Right? And it's the same thing that I'm hearing you say as well. You know, I don't know how you might answer this. It's just coming out of the blue, but like for somebody like me, I don't have kids, right? Is there advice that you would give us of how we can take that approach and have that unbelievable, unconditional love and compassion for a kid if we don't have a child for ourselves? Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. And I've worked with some dynamic folks, Danny, that I think are the world of. My most recent assistant principal, well, not my most recent, but I had an assistant principal. She's now doing marvelous things as a principal of a middle school, but she and her husband, they didn't have kids and she wasn't sure if she wanted them, but she got it. And she was just a very gifted and just a kind-hearted individual. The way I would answer your question, Danny, is, you know, we all have someone out there, I hope we do, that we have a significant source of love and compassion and just, you know, whether that's a brother, a sister, you know, a niece, a nephew, cousin, whomever that is. I mean, you know, these are human beings that are in front of us. And I one of the things that I did, I want to say it was my sixth year into the principalship, is whenever I drafted letters to teachers, emails, as much as I could, because sometimes the context wouldn't allow you, but as much as I could, I stopped writing the word student. If I was drafting a letter to parents, you know, you might see, you know, something that says your student needs to be at school at, you know, no later than 8:05, or the tardy bell rings at such and such. And if your student isn't here, you know, those type of things, I wouldn't put the word student. I really put the word children or kid as often as I could. Whenever I addressed my staff, I intentionally used those words because these are human, right? Right. These are kids. And that means we should expect for them to act as humans and not as these perfect students as we envision them.
I love that because it humanizes the whole process, right? And it makes it a little more personal as well. So Nathan, you're in this new role. I'm curious, what do you miss about the principalship? And then now in this new role, what do you not miss?
Well, you know, the thing that I miss is I am now a director in a district with 18,000 students, right? So we aren't a small district, and obviously there's much larger districts out there in the world, but 18,000 is a pretty good number. And so I work with all children, with all families. You know, I do a fair amount of programming. Right now we are doing a college trip, you know, a college fair that we're going to be going on. There is a Circle City Classic, which is a HBCU, a traditionally HBCU game this Saturday in Indianapolis. And we're taking a busload of kids there. And so it allows me to form relationships with kids and families across the city. When you're a principal, you form deep relationships with those families that are in your building. And, you know, my last school that I was there for 4 years. And I had siblings and, you know, knew the grandmas because they would come to all the music concerts. And, you know, we had folks that were popping popcorn. And when you sit there with a mom and a dad as they are helping you bag popcorn, you learn a lot. You learn an awful lot. So those are the things that I miss, the deep, deep rooted connections that you get to have with your children and families. But I do like that that I'm able to impact and be so influential with kids across our district, you know, with K through 12. It provides a different landscape.
Mm. And tell me, what's been your worst leadership mistake and what did you learn from that valuable experience?
Danny, I've made plenty of mistakes over my career. You know, I started as an assistant principal. I started as an assistant principal who was the traditional coach in the hallway, right? I was a football coach, played football all those years and got that assistant principal job. And I still had a fresh whistle and still coached on the side. And I probably was just a brutal disciplinarian. I was in the hall with my coach's voice. I left the whistle in the car, but that coach's voice was everywhere. And that was a mistake. I learned that later in my years that the reverse is actually true. The softer my voice got, usually the more intense that that relationship was, and kids got closer as I just decided that I wasn't going to scream anymore. I wasn't going to yell. And so that was a huge transition that I made over my career. And I tell a lot of young administrators that, you know, we don't want to be that Coke machine, that vending machine, walking around showing our buttons and letting folks, teachers and kids, push those buttons and we become a reaction, right? We're not a vending machine. And I kind of began my career like that old coach's voice in the hallway. That wasn't always good. But I have to say, and I know I'm going to give you two, this second one is also one that has helped me with stress. And this is another item that a lot of my teachers and administrative teams do remember me saying quite often, and that is, there is no finish line. You know, we all have those to-do lists that we are crafting every day and, you know, trying to check off diligently as we go through our day. Obviously, we're never in our offices, at least I hope you're not, and you're out in the halls. But that to-do list always is there and it grows. When I finally realized that the work that we do is more of a journey, it's a marathon, and not one that we should be always looking for that finish line at the end of the day. You know, did we get that done? Did we do this? Did we do that? Did we cross that finish line? When I realized that there is no such thing as a finish line in our work, I can say that I felt a little different inside. My stress levels went way down. Started having more fun, and you know, tried to make certain that my other folks in the buildings understood that, you know, don't approach this as a finish line. This is a journey. This is a marathon, and you should, you know, appreciate every step of this journey.
I want to dig into that in just a sec, but I have to make a connection with the coach's voice. Let me bring you back to Franklin Middle School. And I'm a teacher, maybe 8 years in the game at this point, eighth period. It's funny, right? You had those ebbs and flows, right? And the year before, I had the best just cohort of students I'd ever taught. And so naturally, the next year, it just seemed like they were the most challenging. In eighth hour, of course, the last period of the day was the absolute worst. They gave me a heck of a time. One girl called me Little Red Riding Hood, right? Like, that's not that bad, right? I've been cussed out. Kids have tried to punch me and stuff. Like, weird things have happened. Yeah. But one day she called me Little Red Riding Hood, and I was like, what is that all about? But the point is like, they were hard to connect with, and I hadn't been building great relationships with them. And I asked one of my mentors, Catherine Hunter, I believe she's in Iowa somewhere now as a professor, but she was a TA at the time. She taught me how to be a teacher. I was still in the U of I, Urbana-Champaign area. And I said, can you come to this class? Because I can't figure it out, and I feel like a failure. And I know you're so wise, like, you're going to tell me what to do.
And she said, start whispering when you teach. I said, what? Are you serious? Because I'm a basketball coach too. So I, not that I use that a lot as a teacher, but I definitely did not whisper. Okay.
Yeah.
And she said, if you try to match their volume, it's only going to amplify what's happening in the room. But if you get quieter and quieter and quieter, if they want to learn, they're going to have to be quiet to listen to you. And it worked. Nathan, it worked. I started to really just basically whisper. And the kids at first were like, what the heck are you doing, Mr. Bauer? We can't hear you. And I just kept talking that way. And they naturally, without me saying Nathan and, you know, over and over, like, you be quiet, whatever, they got quiet on their own. It was insane. It was one of those paradoxical things with leadership that you just, you know, you can't get. But like, wow, was that a powerful moment for me?
That's awesome.
Well, let's pause here for just a second for a message from our sponsors. Today's show is proudly sponsored by Organized Binder, a program which gives students daily exposure to goal setting, reflective learning, time and task management, study strategies, organization skills, and more. Organized Binder's color-coded system is implemented by the teacher through parallel process with students, helping them create a predictable and dependable classroom routine. You can learn more and improve your students' executive functioning and non-cognitive skills at organizedbinder.com. All right, and we're back, and I'm with Nathan Boyd. We're having a great conversation. We're talking about restorative practices. We're talking about why you shouldn't use a coaching voice all the time, how to get buy-in for restorative practices. And Nathan just shared a story prior to mine about some things that he's done to decrease actually his stress. One was a mindset shift, that it's a journey. There is no finish line, which I love. And also the idea of not using a coach's voice all the time and using a softer spoken voice. But Nathan, to that point about a journey, there's no finish line and the lowering of your stress. What was, take us to the moment, because there had to be, I'm guessing, I could be wrong. Was there a moment that made you take that pivot? You know, why change?
Well, I'll tell you what it was. And I remember this. There was a moment where it was the first school that I was the principal at, and we were doing a lot of great things. This school still has a very special place in my heart. By the time I had left this building, we were the 7th ranked middle school in the state, and we were doing a lot of great things. We had just been recognized as a blue ribbon, and it was recruiting season, and that recruiting season, you know, I always kind of think of the job as seasons, and so that season came upon us. And all of those items on the to-do list once again appeared. And so obviously we want to do things and we want to make sure that, you know, we don't just do them, but we do them well. And so as you meet with your team and you're meeting with stakeholders from the community and such, we're going through that. We're also talking about standardized testing. You know, we also got evaluations that are coming up. We also have sports that you have to, you know, either speak at, we get, you know, speak to teams. I was a Jerry Jones of principals. I was kind of, I was on the sideline, you know, probably a little, maybe calling plays every now and then. So probably doing a little
stay
bit.
Stay in your lane, Nathan. Stay in your lane.
I know. That's my problem. But anyhow, there was just a lot going on. And I would get stressed every night knowing that I didn't get this done. I got to get this done in the morning. Here it is, 11 o'clock. I'm about to turn off the lights. And I'm thinking about all the things I didn't get done so they can get done the next morning. And I just said to myself, relax. It's going to be there tomorrow. And I heard somebody else's voice. It wasn't my own. I don't know. Maybe it was the good Lord above. I don't know. But I heard someone else's voice. But at that moment, I walked into the school day, school building the next day, Danny, and something else said, enjoy this journey. And from that moment on, I looked at this role as, listen, tell everybody you can to stop reaching for that finish line, to stop racing towards that, stop stressing yourself out. Yes, I want you to do things well. I want you to do it with excellence. And I want you to show that you got skin in this game and you want it to be done in a top-notch fashion. But I don't want you making yourself sick about it every night. And so I kind of preach that to folks that I come across and those that I mentor or, you know, have been a head principal for. I don't know whose voice it was. I don't know what transpired, but that evening and morning, it really just shifted the way that the weight, I should say, the weight of stress that I went home with and woke up with.
I really appreciate you sharing that story. That was incredibly powerful. And I know the listeners are absolutely impacted by what you just shared there. And I'm going to say the same thing too, you know, and this is my voice. Y'all know who I am. This is Danny Sunshine. Relax. Just like Nathan told you, it's not a sprint. It's not even a marathon. It's not a race. It's a journey. And there is no finish line. So there's a tension, you know, Nathan, because I'm known as like a productivity guy. I get a lot done, right? Like in the book just came out. We're recording this. It's in September. This gets released in January. And that was such an amazing experience to see it now in print. But there's this tension that I'm playing with where I'm crystal clear, laser focused on goals, and I want to achieve those things. And then I often ask myself, I don't talk about this publicly a lot, but what would it be like to just like have no goals and just see what doors open and sort of be in tune, be present with just everything and go with where I'm sort of being pushed or urged on. So I don't have an answer. I only have questions at this point, but it's something I'm thinking about a lot. And that was sparked by your story. So I really appreciate you sharing that. Well, in winding down, I just have a few more questions. Do you have a book, a video, a tool, or a resource that's really impacted your leadership or productivity or quality of life in the last year?
So, yes, I do. First of all, and this is you're not paying me to say this, but your podcast, you know, that was, I'm the type of guy that sometimes I don't have to listen to anything in the car. You know, my kids would get annoyed with me because I don't, and listen, we're just going to be in silence for a moment. I just need to be able to hear myself think. I always pride myself on being a creative, out-of-the-box thinker. I kind of had the untraditional route to becoming a principal because I was a kind of kid that was in the principal's office a lot as a kid. So I had an unconventional route to get to this role. But whenever I needed inspiration, whenever I just needed to see what else was going on and hear other voices, I kind of went to podcasts and I went to conferences or I, you know, talked to friends that I hadn't talked to in a while and just see what's going on in their neck of the woods, you know, and those type of things helped me. And I guess, you know, it's just connecting with those individuals that, that you don't get an opportunity to be around. Our profession is a lonely one at times. I think most people know that, but you got to stay connected. And so, you know, there are books and such that I would recommend. I am a big follower of Todd Whitaker's writings, Principal Kafale. Baruti Kafale has a great series of books out there. And so those are individuals that I always quote and work with. But, you know, connecting with others in our profession and hearing some of their stories, some of their struggles and successes, it always puts more ideas out there in the world. And so I do appreciate what you've provided to us.
Hey, thank you. I don't even know what to say. I'm humbled. And it's funny. I have a hard time receiving, you know, those encouraging words, but I appreciate you. Thank you. And actually, this is a tip for all the listeners. If you have a hard time receiving compliments, here's the way to respond. Just say thank you. That's all you have to do and move on. So I learned that one a few years ago. And so thank you, Nathan. I really appreciate that. The amazing leaders that Nathan mentioned too, I'll link up because they both have many books out there. I'll link up just basically their author's page or something like that in Amazon. And then you can just choose and browse and see if there's a book there that speaks to you. All right, well, two more questions to wind down. What message would you put on all school marquees across the globe if you could do so for just one day?
So I'm a quote guy. I am a quote guy. Every morning, kids in my building heard my voice first, either myself. And if I couldn't be there, my assistant principal, he always did a great job. My last one is as well as the one I spoke about earlier. So I always wanted the kids to get that first message. The kids knew that I had a couple quotes that were my favorite. And so if there was anything that I would put on a marquee, it'd probably be a tie between one quote. And this is by St. Jerome. And it is one that's titled Good, Better, Best. And this is one that I've always asked my kids and others to focus on. And that is good, better, best. That means when I do something well, you know, I'm going to work hard until it's done better. And I won't stop until what is done better has become the very best. That is one of my favorites. And the other is a simple one, but it is by at least who gets credit is Kevin Durant. That's who gets credit right now, but it is a simple one also. And it goes something like this. Hard work beats talent when talent fails to work hard. And so those are things, those are questions and things that I would ask students if they sat in front of me. Maybe they were sent to the office. How much effort are you giving? Is that your best work? Repeat this quote to me and tell me how you've made it yours in this situation. And so anytime I asked those kids those particular questions, it was always in reference to those two quotes. And if they struggled with telling me how that moment met the standard for either one of those works, sometimes I let them go back to class right away. If not, we had to spend a little more time talking, and sometimes with parents. So those are two items that a lot of kids and teachers and folks kind of know me best as. Those two items, St. Jerome and more recent Kevin Durant piece.
Yeah, one I like too is I think luck is when hard work meets our opportunity, which reminds me of that Kevin Durant quote as well. Well, Nathan, you made it to the end. I'm proud of you, and I really enjoyed this conversation. This is the question I end all podcasts with, and it's you're building a school from the ground up. You're not limited by any type of resources. The only limitation is your imagination, Nathan. So how would you build your dream school, and what would be your top three priorities?
Well, I tell you, technology, a focus on technology and meeting the challenge that we don't know yet exists in this world as far as that's concerned. It'd have to be a technology school. One of the priorities, those three pillars would be, I've got a passion right now for our young men, especially our young men of color. That is a focus of mine. And in this day and age, it saddens me by the things that we read across our papers, the things that come across the news channels, even things in our own backyard. So my focus really is on what we can do to help urban students, help those that are less fortunate, those that need a little bit more source of inspiration and support, equity, providing equitable opportunities. It's important that we really focus on that. And so that would have to be the first pillar for me right now. The second one is we got to make certain that in this school, that kids understand there is a huge difference between focus and, it's one thing to say I'm going to step a football team out on the field and, we're going to go from the 20-yard line and score that touchdown. But if we don't have a game plan, which means a short-term goal, long-term goal, then I'm not sure that we are going to make it. So that second pillar is we are going to be a college-ready school. So technology-based, this is going to be a boys prep, young men, but we are going to be focused on colleges across this country, across this world. We're going to have flags all over the place. Our doors will be painted. Our walls will they will mimic the opportunities that this world has for us, because there are many. There are many. And then that third piece, this is going to be a piece that's really important, is we are going to transform parent engagement into parent involvement. There's a difference between engaged parents and involved parents. And so this school is going to have a component where I'm going to ask parents to be a little bit more involved with that child's schooling. And that's going to take the form of trips. That's going to take the form of, coming to class. Instead of take your child to work day, we're going to have bring your parent to school day, right? Because I want parents to experience what a school day is like. It is so much different in 2018 than it was in 1990, all right, in 2000. And sometimes I think it's worthwhile for parents to see all that children go through during a school day. Some of our parents are wowed with the amount of information and the challenges that our kids have. And so I want our parents to do that. I want our parents to be involved and be in that place. So I'll tell you, first thing is I'm going to focus on our young men, especially those of color. We are going to make certain that college choices, college opportunities are all around them. And then we are going to make certain that we do all we can to involve parents, not just engage, but involve them.
Nathan, thank you so much for being a part of the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast. If people want to connect with you after this show, what's the best way to get a hold of you?
I'm a Twitter junkie, right? So Principal_Boyd is my Twitter space. And, you know, would love to follow others and just correspond, DM me, and let's have a chat.
All right. Well, thanks again for being on the show.
All right, Better Leaders, just a few more things before you take off. I created a new resource for you called The 3 Leadership Questions I Ask Every Day. You can download the resource by visiting betterleadersbetterschools.com. If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure you subscribe, rate, and review the podcast. This helps me in a few ways. It gives the show some social proof, it encourages new people to listen to the show, and it improves the ranking of the show and therefore helps me serve more school leaders. If you want extra credit and some good vibes, share your biggest takeaway from the show and tag me on Twitter and Instagram. My handle is Alien Earbud, an anagram for my name, Daniel Bauer, and make sure to use the hashtag BLBS. This Sunday is the weekend resource. Join over 3,000 school leaders that get this resource delivered every week. In the weekend resource, I share content curated specifically for school leaders. You'll get articles, videos, templates, and exercises, coaching tips, inspirational quotes, invitations to free Friday group coaching, which is an exclusive offer made available only to newsletter subscribers in the Better Leaders, Better Schools tribe, and links to all the content I created for you this past week. You could subscribe at betterleadersbetterschools.com/weekend-resource. And remember, life is 10% of what happens to you and 90% of how you react to it. Go out there today and be a better leader.